Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And have rejuvenated as a team. Talking to a lot of guys in the room, they like their mix. They like that everybody knows their identity and what they have to do to be successful as a team. So for Edmonton, oh, a squibber! And it went 5-hole on Marc-Andre Fleury! 1-0 Edmonton, 27-10!
Yeah, I happened to see that last night. Paul, did you see what happened on that play that Evan just played?
Yeah.
Yeah, that... Poor Marc-Andre Fleury. He's had some memorable flubs over the years. It goes back to his days playing in juniors. And this is his last year. Hopefully for his sake, that's his last memorable flub he has. But, man, he's had some memorable ones over the years. I mean, that one was 27 seconds into the game, too, by the way. The puck takes a bounce right before he's about to kind of sweep it away and goes right through the 5-hole and in.
I remember seeing a highlight way back from a Stanley Cup. It might have been the last game of the series between the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks. And back then, I guess Tony Esposito was like a fantastic goaltender for the Blackhawks. And Jacques Lemaire beat him from the red line with a slap shot.
Mm. Yeah, we've seen a few of those.
The Hawks lost that game by a goal.
Yeah,
in the Stanley Cup Finals, and it was just like, how does that get in on a goaltender that good?
Yeah, well, I mean, that goal came from, it was courtesy of Leon Draisaitl, and it appeared that he scored that from his own blue line. It looked like he was trying to make a play to center. It went off maybe a wild defender, and the puck was kind of like on edge, and then it hit. You know, maybe a wet spot or something, took a weird redirect and went in the net. Some weird, weird goals that have been scored this year already over the years. I feel this is a good way to bring in Dan Dunleavy. Let's go to the Western Hotline right now. Sabres play-by-play man Dan Dunleavy joining us. Dan, what is the weirdest goal that you've called in the NHL or just seen of any hockey game in your time watching?
I feel honored. I feel, I don't know what the word is, guys, but as soon as you bring up the word weird, you bring me on your show. So that's great. Yeah. Love it. Good stuff. I'll talk to you tomorrow. No, listen, that's it. It's good to be weird, folks. You got one life to live. Be freaking weird. Go for it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The weirdest goal that I don't know, Paul knows me better than a lot of folks. I don't really bank that stuff in my brain, so I might think of one later in the day, but right now, a weird one?
That's why I am, because Jeremy springs this stuff on me, and like I try to think of something by the time I'm done with the segment. I usually think of something 2 hours later, and then I text him. I remember this.
Sure, I'm pretty sure RJ called the butt goal.
Yep, that was the Mark Pezek overtime winner against Arizona.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was in the building for that. Does that count?
Yeah, sure, that counts.
But, you know, I called it to myself down on the glass while Rick was doing the game. But, no, I don't remember one off the top, but I'm sure there's been quite a few, to be honest.
Yeah.
Over the years.
I had one. I don't like talking about mine, but it was, you talk about a weird one. I was probably a step outside the blue line, I guess, Wisconsin, and backhanded the puck in to go for a change. Uh-huh. And as I got to the bench, everybody started yelling. It went in somehow. I didn't even see it because I turned and went to the bench. I, to this day, don't know how that backhand wound up in the net, taking it from outside the blue line.
I scored on my own team, but it was soccer. I've done that many times when I switch from forward to defense when you try to block a shot. And you wind up – one went top corner. I stuck my foot out to block a shot, and I guess the keeper thought he had it, but I tipped this thing perfectly, and it went far corner high. It was a beautiful goal. even the team that got the goal, thanks to my mistake, they were high-fiving me, saying that was a good one.
Dan, I have to have you explain. So we had Rob on yesterday, and he said that he told you if you're going to be traveling, you have to start eating like a man. What does he mean by that?
Well, okay. Let's start with, you know, you've known Rob many more years personally than I have. All right. And it's usually when Rob says things like that, it's more of a reflection on his own self-evaluations. And I think Rob, you know, when he's checking out what you're wearing, when he's watching how you're eating and things like that, I think he's kind of looking back at himself thinking, I wonder if I should do it that way. So I think it's more of a deflection than it is, an immediate kind of framing of who you are. So
now you're in Anaheim, where we went with, I think it was John Vogel, because it was on one of those TV shows, the Slater's 50-50. Which is 50% ground beef and 50% ground bacon. Now, did you go to that? Were you there?
Yeah, we sat out in the patio or something like that. I remember, yes.
Remember Rob had a triple and was mad he didn't order a bigger one, and I couldn't even get through the regular burger. And it was probably, I know for myself, as far as health, that was probably the worst thing I have ever eaten health-wise. Yeah. It was good, it was great, but it was not healthy.
Well, one thing you do know, and I don't think anybody cares about this, but I'll say, the one thing I am known for is eating very slow. So I am definitely usually the last to finish at a table. So it's probably what Rob was referring to. lately, for some reason, I don't tend to be last, which is either a good or a bad thing, I don't know, but anyway, well, we are playing the Ducks. I've never really, I've maybe had duck once in my life. I don't know that I really cared for it, but.
I should ask you a hockey question.
Sure.
I figured we'd get there eventually.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I mean, I was looking it up, and I didn't count the Montreal game because he went into it injured and had to leave. But the five games around it, he's made 130 saves out of 136 shots. That's 956 in those five starts. Is it simply that he's playing more, which is what he needs to do, is why he has, you know, gotten back to where he was last year, maybe even better? Or what is it, do you think, that has gotten him going again? And not that he was awful before, but really getting into this mindset where he has a 956 save percentage in five starts.
Yeah, I haven't taken, as you know, with the fact that he was out for a couple, then back in and playing so well, I haven't really had that conversation with him yet. But what I see, again, is what I saw at the end of last year, or when he really kind of got in the right track, you know, in the last portion of the season last year, where he just got in this kind of groove, where you sensed when he was in the net, there was nothing that was, how do I say this? There was nothing that looked urgent when he made a save, meaning that he was always in the right spot, looking around screens. He just seemed very calm and very composed. That doesn't mean there aren't moments in any individual game, as you well know, Paul, that he's got to make a scramble to make a save. But I think, you know, as Rob always, I think, fairly points out, and I worked with Jim Ralph in Toronto beforehand, he would always say the same thing. And Ralph, he played that in the game that, you know, when you see a goalie who scrambles too much, it usually means they're out of position and they're not reading, or they're not anticipating as well as they could be. So I think that that's something that I'm not going to say he wasn't doing, as you pointed out earlier. It's not that he was bad, but perhaps there is a bit of a groove from playing more often. And I think the more games you play, when you are a bona fide number one goaltender, which I do believe he is, and you and I have talked about it many times, I've always feared that this team might give up on him. Given the fact that he's had great success at every level, eventually, when he gets to that point, he's really good. And I think we're seeing now in the last game, even though there weren't a ton of shots, I think at one point I said, he just looks really sharp tonight. And by that I meant, you know, every save was, if it means anything, but every save was crisp, every save was clean. He was in the right spot. It was a good glove save. It wasn't a juggled glove save. It was looking around the screen. It was, and there was one save too where, you know, many times, especially the big goaltenders, but every goaltender, when they kind of trap the puck underneath their arm and they're not sure if they've got it or not. And I did mention to Rob on the call that, you know, he's not even looking like he's unsure. He's sure that he has that puck between the arm and his upper body. Whereas in the past, you know, he'd look behind him and wonder if he had it. So I don't know if that means a hill of beans to anything, but I think for where his mindset is at, Paul, is, you know, that's, I think that's why he's kind of in this bit of run. And I give him credit post-game the other night after L.A. He gave credit to the guys in front of him, too, that obviously, it's certainly more than I've seen since I've been here, which is, you know, 12 years or so now, the commitment to blocking shots in regular season games, you know, 20 games in, is extremely evident compared to other seasons that I've watched his team. And that helps a lot, too, for him. And they're blocking the right way. They seen, obviously, Malisain the other night. It hurt a lot, but he came back, so... that's helping too. I think his confidence, he knows he's got the group that are battling for him as much as he's battling for them.
Dan, four block shots in that last 6-on-5, four of them, two of them by Cousins. Yeah. I mean, that just kind of illustrates what you're talking about.
Yeah, it just feels, you know, a lot of goaltenders I'm sure feel, especially in Buffalo over the years, because, you know, even go back to Linus Ullmark when he was just trying to figure himself out around the NHL level. And a lot of times we'll try to rush goaltenders to instant success. And Linus, too, was kind of flailing all over the place. And you'd watch him, you go, oh, my goodness, what is this guy doing right now? But I'm sure if we look back, and certainly mental memory reminds me of how many times he was facing odd man rushes, and the team in front of him just wasn't good enough defensively to even give him a chance to kind of figure things out without it, all the pressure of the game being on his shoulders. So I think the fact that this team is playing better in front of their net on most nights, every night there's always things that we can talk about that aren't going well, but there are more things going well in front of the net, especially when they're winning hockey games. And I think that's what Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was referring to the other night. And I really feel that when a goaltender sees his guys fighting that much defensively in front of him, instead of just winging up the ice and not caring that, I guess not caring, but not making the proper effort to commitment and detail to get back and help him out on the defensive end, I think, you know, he feels, okay, we are a group here. These guys are fighting for me, and I'm going to fight as much for them. So if it means I got to look around a screen of three guys in front of the net, I'm going to make that extra effort to make sure I've got it, because I know these guys are making these blockouts for a reason. So I think it does matter to the mental mind, you know, the mental game for a goaltender.
Dan,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sean Levy joining us on the Wester Hotline here on WGR from Anaheim as the Sabres get ready to face the Ducks, a 10 o'clock faceoff tonight here on the East Coast on WGR. Pregame coverage coming your way at 9 o'clock. Dan, I want to ask you about this Ducks team, because I think they're a very similar team to the Sabres in the fact that there's a lot of young talent. They're working adamantly right now to try to get on this right track of winning and get themselves on a positive trajectory going into the next coming years here going forward. But maybe a little pressure on the team is they've had some of these pieces in place now for a year or two, and it just hasn't clicked for them yet. When you look at the roster, when you look at the makeup of the team, what do you make of the Ducks and just kind of looking ahead to tonight's matchup?
Yeah, sleep on them and you're going to lose. You bring up a good point. There's, you know, when you break down the difference between these teams, automatically you would say to yourself, well, the Sabres should beat Anaheim, and it's just kind of a reflex, you know, home reaction. But through 19 games, they have 18 points, and the Sabres coming in with team game 20, I believe it is tonight, they have 19 points. At home, the Ducks are a game under 500. The Sabres know what that's like. They've been that way for a number of years, but now they're a game over at home. On the road, the Ducks have been good, where the Sabres are hoping to get back to a, you know, 500 record at 4-4-1 if they get a win tonight. So this is a young team that, yes, there are some players that are underachieving, Zegras being the first one that will come to your mind, but there are other players that are stepping into the lineup that perhaps people haven't played a lot of attention to. You know, and for me, watching, I just watched the last two games here because we've had the, you know, the day off out in Anaheim. So I scouted the last couple of games. And Olin Zellweger's a guy who, for a guy who's still extremely young, is a very impressive hockey player. And they've got a lineup here that, you mentioned pressure. I'd take the pressure playing hockey in Anaheim any day if you're talking about the National Hockey League. There's pressure from within. There's pressure from the GM and the coach and your former teammates. I get it. But it's not like you're walking around Buffalo or Toronto or a hockey market where they're the lead story every day. So the pressure really is on themselves to develop the proper way, and I think they've done that. So I look at their group, and again, I'll say it again. I think if you want to sleep on this team, you're going to find yourself in trouble because there's a bunch of guys who are very young. Some of them, Sam Colangelo, just a game into this season. He just made his season debut the other night. They're just guys you got to be careful of. Ryan Strome's a veteran who's got 18 games. I know 9 points isn't a lot, but he's got 4 goals. Troy Terry, another guy that can, if you're sleeping on him, he can beat you too. So Menchikov's a guy, not a ton of points, but boy, he's getting first pair minutes on the defensive end of things. I mentioned that they've just got some young D guys here that are, you know, to me, they're pretty impressive. And you're right, they're not a team you expect is going to rocket to the top of a division anytime soon. But right now, Greg Cronin's got these guys in a nice little stretch. So yeah, I'd be careful of this one.
Guys, could I be the rebel of this group? I'm sorry. I know the NHL counts Czechia as a home game. I am not going to count that loss as a home game. I'm just not.
Nah, don't.
So the Sabres are actually 6-4 at home.
Yeah.
Now the NHL says
better.
The NHL says they're 6-5, but I'm going to be the rebel here, and I am not counting a game in Czechia as a home game. So I'm going
to
make it sound even better. They're 6-4 at home in my mind.
Yeah. And listen, here's the other thing, too. If you want to talk to me when, you know, I think a good question would be, not to take over my own interview here, but when the Sabres are going to have a good night, you know, generally what happens in the game? And we've seen it this year. And it's a good start to a period. And I think Jason Zucker mentioned it post-game the other night in L.A. They had a really good first period against the Kings. They were doing everything you need to do. And you thought, okay, here comes that Kings game again. Let's hope it doesn't fall apart in the third period. Then the start of the second period comes along, and I remember looking at Rob in our first break, and I thought, uh-oh, here it goes again. They just couldn't get it. You know, the Kings are all over them. The Sabres just couldn't complete passes to set anything up going the other way. But they stuck with it. And to me, the reason they were able to stick with it is because they started the game playing that way. If they hadn't started the game playing that way, I think they might not have found their way to that victory. But they started correctly. And the other thing for this group that we've seen far too often, and I'm sure every team says it, but if the Sabres can just not take consecutive penalties that are based on bad positioning, or you're behind your man and you're reaching in, or it's a late hit or whatever it is when the puck is already beyond you, and putting your team in that kind of peril, meaning killing another penalty and stopping this 5-on-5 play, which you've actually been pretty good at, in specific games, then just stay out of the box. If you're behind a guy and you need some help, call for help. But don't start taking penalties when you're behind the play because you weren't moving your feet or whatever the reasons are. So, to me, that's if the Sabres tonight, for example, if they have a first 10 minutes that are really good and they're doing everything they need to do and they're hemming the Ducks in, I think they're good. The Ducks can push back all they want for a few minutes. But the Sabres, I think this is a group that says in the room on that given game day, guys, we just did it in the first period. Let's just get back to that. It's not like we have to find it from 3 games ago.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, too, that I called it a gutty win because they didn't mind going into the third period at 0-0. They understood that playing the Kings, sometimes that happens. A couple of years ago at home, that happened. And Buffalo, I think, scored 4 goals in the third period to win 4-0. So they stuck with it. They had a good first period. Goaltender played, Riddick played very well against them. They had some good opportunities. You mentioned the penalties. That's why they had 3 shots on goal in the second period, because they basically killed 4 penalties. They had one that carried over, but a lot of that time was from the, you know, or a little, there was a little time in the first period, most of it in the second. and they spent killing penalties. But they, I just like the fact there wasn't a panic because they hadn't scored. They got through the penalty kills. They killed those penalties very well. And they're like, all right, we're fine. It's 0-0 going into third. We're fine. We got a power play to start off the third period. Let's go. And that's what I liked about it. I just thought it was a gutty win.
Yeah, and I reflect back to a couple of years ago when this young group kind of, you saw their potential, right, when they missed it by a point. It wouldn't matter that year, and you guys both remember this, it wouldn't matter if they got down 2-0 because they were in a groove of playing a game a certain way. Now, it was a wide-open game, and they were going for it, but they knew when everyone was healthy, and you know, you could almost say the same with this team. When Tage is in and healthy every night, when you're not wondering if Alex is in or out every night, and when you've got Greenway back in the lineup and healthy on every given night, this team can score goals, because I still believe that there are some guys out here that are just... they're too good of goal scorers. Whatever the reason that Jack Quinn's only got one so far this year, I thought he was better last game. I still think Dylan Cousins, with only 3 goals, I think he's doing a lot of things right, and I think he's going to better areas to get goals, but I'm not seeing him stuck on 10 goals for the year. So at some point, the law of averages, for those that play stats, for these guys is going to see them increase their offensive production. But I love your point, because it's the familiarity with what, and everyone calls it an identity. The Sabres, if they have an identity under Lindy Ruff this year that he's tried to instill in them, is, look, trust me, if we play this way every night, even if it's a 1-0 game or a 6-5 game, or like that one we saw last night between Tampa and Columbus, you're in the game. The minute you stray from that, a Philadelphia Flyer game breaks out or the Columbus game breaks out. But if you just do this and stop trying to put on a show every time, or stop trying to make that fancy pass, it does work for you sometimes, but again, the percentages will tell you the shot was better there than the pass. Just trust that, and we're going to be fine. So I think this team is starting to figure it out. They're talking about it after every game. If they can do it in back-to-back fashions here tonight, meaning off of the Kings game, you know, you'd almost like it to be another close one where they do it again, and then they really prove to themselves, hey, okay, we're good. We're actually pretty good at this. You need goaltending to do it, but we're actually pretty good at this. It would be good for the team, I think.
Braden, just let me say, the Sabres are 13th in the league in goal scoring at 3.21, which is better than the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's better than the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, that's not – I think people might be surprised to hear that the Sabres are 13th at 3.21 goals per game.
Yeah, just got to keep scoring, baby. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Just keep scoring. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy tomorrow's game against San Jose, and we'll talk again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Dan Dunleavy joining us on the Wester Hotline. Paul, I'm going to call you Howard Simon because we are extremely late for the break. I throw the blame entirely on you. So when we come back, we'll wrap up the show and then move along for Derek and Zach coming up next at 1 o'clock here on WGR.